be seated. Amen. Good morning. Thank you to our youth worship team. Let's give them some encouragement. Thanks, guys. Well, it's so good to greet you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how's everyone doing today? Everybody had a good week? I had a crazy busy week this week. Anybody ever have one of those weeks? Yeah, every day, every week, yeah. Well, you know, it's graduation time, right? And I'm sure all of you have been to high school graduations. Well, we've been to a gazillion of them, lots of them this week. And so we got some pictures. This was Pearl City at the Aloha Stadium. And next picture is, there's Dominique. That's Messina's son. He graduated. So congratulations to him. And then, of course, on Friday night, we went to Kapolei. There it is. Kapolei. Any Kapolei high school grads? There's a few here. There you go, right over there. Overall, in our church and in the Croc Center, our employees, I think we had over 25 high school graduates this year. So congratulations to all of them. So we've been busy going to all of these different graduations and parties. And then last Sunday, we got a call from our divisional commander saying, we need you and Major Debbie to go to the Big Island. So we flew to the Big Island on Monday. And we were part of the EDS team, the Emergency Disaster Response Team, dealing with the volcano and the aftermaths of that. So this next photo, we set up a shelter in Pahoa, and you can see the glow from the lava in the evening. And some heartbreaking stories that we heard from people. But the Salvation Army there is there with the Red Cross and with other agencies providing assistance and providing aid. So continue to pray for the people there. We have a couple of our team members there right now. Sarah and Michelle are there. Sandy Hall and Rachel came back this past week as well. So continue to pray for our friends and family over in the Big Island. And so we came back on Wednesday, and right off we came right back to the Croc Center, and we had our big hula recital, our hula halau, and they did a wonderful job. So thanks to all the ladies and the girls, and to Kumu Tammy as well. They did a wonderful job. And then yesterday, we had a great celebration at the beach. A number of our family from the church family got baptized, and they were professed publicly of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I think we had about 17 people that were baptized yesterday. So we just thank the Lord for them and their wonderful witness. And then, of course, it didn't end late last night, early this morning. This is the Croc Center. We had a Project Grad here last night. MidPAC Institute came, and all their high school graduates were here last night. They left early, early this morning, having a great time and a wonderful time. But it's been a busy week, but it's been a good week as well. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you because we've been already reminded this morning that you are a good, good Father. And you love us so much. And you pursue us. And you have that reckless love. And it doesn't matter where we are or where we've been, you still pursue us and you love us and you want us to come back into fellowship with you and to be in relationship with you. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you are a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God of compassion. And so, Father, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would help us to understand you more, to see you and to see your son, Jesus Christ. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we begin a new sermon series. And you can see it on the screen there. It says, to be like Jesus. And you see the bullseye there. And so I have a bow. You see the bow and you see the targets up here. I have an arrow as well. I'm not going to load it because I have to be safety-minded. But I also have an apple. So I need a volunteer that's willing to... Come on, Danny. You must trust me a lot. No, I'm not going to shoot the bow. I just wanted to see if Danny had faith in me, and apparently he does. No, just kidding. To be like Jesus, hitting the mark, that's going to be our theme for the next several weeks. But I just wanted to look back quickly at our last two series that we just completed. The two series, one was on the miracles of Jesus, and the other one was on the I am statements of Jesus. And we saw where Jesus turned the water into wine. He multiplied the loaves and the fish and fed 5,000. And he said, I am the bread of life. And he says, I am the light of the world. We saw Jesus heal the sick. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus proclaimed, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we saw Jesus, we saw his compassion displayed as he restored the blind man's sight. And we witnessed his power and majesty as he not only calmed the storm, but he calmed the fears of his frightened disciples. And so we have learned much about Jesus these past few weeks, who he is, his character, his holiness, his majesty, his power and his grace, his compassion, his overwhelming and sometimes reckless love for us. Just as we heard in the song this morning, just like the good shepherd had for his sheep. And so these two series were all about Jesus Christ. And we will continue to preach Christ and him crucified. But what about us? You see, when Jesus was on earth, there were his followers and disciples, those who chose to follow him. There were those whose lives had been transformed by Jesus and by his teachings. And so instead of being haters, they became lovers. Instead of holding grudges and becoming bitter, they offered forgiveness. Instead of being selfish and self-centered, they became generous and they put others before themselves. Instead of being greedy and arrogant, they became givers and became humble servants. Instead of being fearful and uncertain about the reality and about the struggles and tragedies of life, they became confident and bold, prepared to face whatever came their way. And it was Jesus, and it was the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that changed them and transformed them into true followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And the same is true for us today. It's the same Jesus, and it's the same Holy Spirit of the New Testament days that is alive and well and working in each of our lives today. Today, we are the modern-day disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, and he said this to his disciples and his followers as he was just before he ascended into heaven. And he says, therefore, my disciples, my followers, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what he told his disciples then, and this is what he's telling his disciples today. He's saying, Croc Center Church, you have been commissioned to go and make disciples. This is our job. This is our mandate. This is our calling. This is our mission. So if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then this is what Christ is telling you to do. He's saying to go and make disciples. But in order to go and make disciples, you must first be a disciple yourself. You must be a student. You must be a learner. And that's what this new sermon series is all about. You see the bullseye? You see the target? That's what we're aiming for. It's us. It's about us wanting to become more and more like Jesus. To be like Jesus in how we live our everyday lives. To be like Jesus in how we interact with people, even those we don't get along with. To be like Jesus in our daily habits and in our lifestyles. To be like Jesus in how we view and how we strive for our goals and our aspirations. That we can't begin to see life from Jesus' perspective and not from our own selfish, self-centered, focused perspective. We want to be like Jesus. And that's our target. That's our goal, and that's our aim. And so we're going to take a look at what we call the marks of a disciple, those distinct traits and characteristics that define a true follower of Jesus Christ. And here's what we'll focus on in the next few weeks, these marks of a disciple. And we're going to have it up here on the screen. And I'm going to read these things, and I just want you to finish. I'm going to read each, start each phrase, and I want you to finish the phrase. And we're going to be looking at each of these phrases for the next several weeks. So we'll start with the first one. It says, the mark of a true disciple is someone who loves. Is someone who loves. Is someone who is committed to. Is someone who surrenders to. Is someone who shares. Is someone who grows in faith by. Is someone who obeys Jesus in the root. It's someone who serves others through. Very good. You guys can read. That's wonderful. So let's take a look at the first mark. A disciple loves God with all of his or her heart. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say that. Say that. A disciple loves God with all of his or her heart. Turn to your other neighbor and say the same thing. Very good. Very good. All right. Matthew 22, 34 to 38. If you have your Bibles, turn to that. This is what we call the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. And we're going to read this together. You can read it from your Bibles. You can read it from the screen. All right. We're going to start at verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 38. Here we go. Let's read it together. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. The first one I want you to answer, you can answer out loud, you can raise your hand. The second question, you just keep it to yourself, okay? First question, very simple. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind. And in the Old Testament it says, and your strength as well. How many of you love God? Good. Excellent. That's good news. Okay, here's the second question. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to answer it out loud. I just want you to think about it. I'm going to ask quite a few questions this morning, so it's time to kind of reflect, all right? How many of you are in a loving relationship with God? Think about it. How many of you are in a loving relationship with God right now? Just keep thinking about that. Here's an important truth to remember, and I'll put it up on the screen. A love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in your life. Let that sink in. Let me repeat it one more time. A love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in your life. The foundation of everything we do, upon which everything we build and base our lives on, must be a personal love relationship with God. You see, Christianity, it's not about rituals, it's not about rules, it's not about traditions. That's a good definition of religion. Religion is made up of rules and regulations and traditions. But when we're talking about Christianity, when we're talking about being a follower of Jesus, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a personal relationship between each and every one of you individually and with God. And that's a very, very important point for all of us to understand. A love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in your life. So you see, our relationship with God is the most important one, and upon which all other relationships should be based. Now, it's not complicated, it's not rocket science, but it all begins with a simple love relationship with God. Although his, and this is through his son, Jesus Christ. It's the realization of our sin, of our sinful nature. We confess, we receive his loving forgiveness and the promise of eternal and abundant life. I think all of you know that, or most of you know that. But then what happens? What happens to our relationship with God then? Well, then let me ask you another question. And this one you just think about as well. How is your relationship with God right now? Right now, right this very moment. Now, it's just between you and God. Think about it. How is your relationship with God right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, what is it? If you were standing before God, could you describe your relationship with him by saying, God, I love you with all my heart. God, I love you with all my soul. God, I love you with all my mind. I love you with everything, God. Can you say that? Can you actually say that? Let me tell you a story. Henry Blackaby, who wrote a book called Experiencing God, tells this story. He says, one of our church members was always having difficulty in his personal life and with his family and at work and in the church. And in a church meeting, he became extremely angry and stormed out of the room. And it was obvious that his life was filled with anger. Soon after, I met with him and asked, can you describe your relationship with God by sincerely saying, I love you with all my heart? The strangest look came over his face. He said, nobody has ever asked me that. No, I could not describe my relationship with God that way. I could say I obey him, I serve him, I worship him, and I fear him, but I cannot say I love him. You see, this man had a father who never told him he loved him. And the son feared his father, but he didn't love him. The man had wrongly assumed God was the same kind of father. I helped this man realize God loved him and wanted to have loving fellowship with him. That truth set the man free to experience the love of his heavenly Father. And so Blackaby continues and he says, everything in this man's life was out of order because God's basic purpose for his life was missing. God created us for a love relationship with him. If you cannot describe your relationship with God by saying that you love him with all your being, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to bring you into that kind of a relationship. That's how important that is. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you, that if you are not in a loving relationship with God, that you would ask the Holy Spirit so that he would allow that to happen, that your heart would open and that you would enter into this loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And that's what God designed us for. That's what God desires. He longs to be in relationship with his creation, with each and every one of us. And so as disciples, our target is to be like Jesus. And so the first thing we need to do, the first mark, is that we need to love God. So that's the basics. That's the foundation. We need to love God. But it's also God's will that we grow in our love for God. Much like how our love for our spouse should continue to grow and deepen as time goes by, our personal relationship with God should continue to deepen and become more intimate as we grow in spiritual maturity. So how do we do that? How do we deepen our relationship with God? How do we draw closer to God and become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ, which is our goal, which is the bullseye? Simple answer, how do we do that? We make time. We make time. Like in any other relationship, here's the formula. It's up there. QT equals QR. You guys got that figured out? Come on, all you high school graduates. What's the solution? QT equals QR. Quality time equals quality relationship. I think you all know that already, right? Quality time. If you spend quality time with whoever it is, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a child or a parent or whoever it is, if you spend quality time with them, there's a better chance of increasing the quality of that particular relationship. Same goes for God. Quality time with God equals quality relationship with God. And so here are a few things to help us as we spend time with God. And I would encourage each and every one of you, each and every one of you, and we've talked about this and we've preached about it on many occasions. It is so important for each and every one of us to spend a quiet time with God on a daily basis. I can't overemphasize that enough. If having a personal relationship with God is so important, then we need to set time aside to spend time with Him on a daily basis. So that's so important. Well, here's some things. You know, when we teach our children to cross the street, we teach them to do three things. Stop, look, and what? Go. No, man. Oh, my goodness. It's been a while. Isn't that why you got run over by that car? Stop, look, and listen, right? So here are three things we can do. In our quiet time with God, in our daily lives, to cultivate this relationship that we have with the Lord. Stop. There are things in our lives, both sins and habits, and just plain hindrances that get in the way of us loving God fully. There's a lot of stuff in our life that keeps us from loving God fully, that keeps us from having that intimate relationship with God. We accumulate a lot of stuff in our life that is not pleasing to God and does not honor God. So we need to stop. We need to set those things aside. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." We've got to slow down and even stop some things as we say yes to God and no to that which is not of God. So there are some things that we need to stop and get rid of in our lives because it's hindering our relationship with God. And most of us already know what they are. And the Bible clearly instructs those things. So stop. Second thing is to look. You know, from time to time we need to take a look inside and to be introspective. And that's what we're trying to do that today. But it's hard to do that in a big crowd. You need to do this when you're alone, when you do your quiet time. Spend that time in introspection. Socrates put it well. He said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And so you need to ask yourself, and you need to ask God as well, and to be honest in your quiet time, how is my relationship with God right now? We've already asked that question today. But it's a question we need to keep asking ourselves to make sure we stay on track. Is my love for Him growing, or is my love for Him stagnant? What areas of my life am I struggling with? Am I struggling with envy or jealousy or selfishness or lust or pride? We need to ask ourselves these questions. And then you need to have other people enter your life as well. And that's why we have small groups and Ohana groups and discipleship groups, so that there's other people that can ask you these questions, that can hold you accountable, that can encourage you. And we need each other. We need the body of Christ for that, so that they can help us, so that we can have a full relationship with God. So what areas of my life do I still want to have control over? Is God just a resident in my house, or is He the president? Is He just a resident, or is He the president? Have I allowed God to have some space in my life, or have I allowed Him to sit on the throne of my life? Have I allowed God to just be a passenger in my car, or have I given Him the steering wheel? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves. So from time to time, we need to stop, and look within our own lives and ask the questions. And then the third thing, stop, look, and listen. We need to take time daily to listen to God and to connect with Him. We need to spend time in prayer and meditation and solitude and silence. You see, God is speaking to us every day. Actually, He's speaking to us every moment. And the question is, am I listening? Am I listening for Him? Am I listening to Him? Can I hear Him in the midst of all the noise and all the busyness and the whirlwind that we call life? And I know that our lives are very busy. I know that our lives are very noisy. And our lives can be very distracted. But we've got to slow down. The psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." And we need to do that in the midst of the whirlwind, in the midst of the storm. We need to cease striving and be still and listen to that still, small voice. It was a crazy, busy week for us. We were flying all over the place and going to different events, and we had some visitors from out of town, and it was just very crazy and busy and distracting. But I still found time, some quiet time, to stop, to look, and to listen. And God was there. He is always there. And so I would encourage you to do that. To ask yourself that question, how is my relationship with God? I'm going to ask Braden to come to the piano as we come to a close. I'm talking a lot about relationships. Let me tell you one story, and I've probably shared this before. When I was 18 years old, I went off to college, and I was a pretty good kid. I grew up in a Salvation Army home, and my parents were Salvation Army officers. They were ministers. They were pastors. So I was a pretty good kid. I went to all the different church activities. In my second semester in college, I was still 18 years old. My father unexpectedly passed away. He was only 47 years old. And I realized I didn't really have a relationship with God. My religion, if you want to call it that, was my parents' religion. I went to church because they expected me to go to church. I read the Bible because they told me to read the Bible. I really didn't have a personal relationship with God. I knew all the right answers, but I didn't really have that experience. And so with my father gone, I just felt totally lost. I felt like all the walls had come caving in. And that's when I turned to a scripture that I probably read before, but it never really sunk in. But that verse has stuck with me all these years. Jeremiah 31:3. And I was reminded as the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and as He spoke to me, and He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. And even though my world was falling apart, I clung to that verse. And I knew that God loved me no matter what. No matter if my loved ones had disappeared. No matter if I was on the big island and the lava was overflowing and the world was caving in. God says, "I loved you with an everlasting love. A love that has no beginning and a love that has no end." That's the type of love that God has for each and every one of us. And then there's another verse that came to me around the same time. And that bolstered my faith. And as I began to walk with the Lord and begin to have a personal relationship with Him, and I'm sure most of you know this verse as well, Romans 8:28. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I clung to those verses and I clung to those promises. And my faith grew. And the love of the Lord, my love for the Lord grew as well. And I realize that I love the Lord, but I didn't have to do any work for it. That my love for him was not something that was just self-generated, but it was in response. 1 John says, we love, why? Because God first loved us. God initiated. He took the first step. And that's what he does. And all we need to do is just to respond. He's already said he's loved us. He's already sent his son Jesus on the cross. And all we need to do is respond. And so to love him is very simple. It's very easy. It's just saying, thank you, God. Thank you for loving me. I love you. And I worship you. And so my prayer for each and every one of us this morning is that we would truly love God because of what he has already done for you in your heart and in your life. Let's pray together. And as I pray, as I said earlier, if there's someone here who does not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, does not have that personal love relationship with God, don't leave this place until you do. You can come to the place of prayer. You can speak to any one of us. We'd be happy to speak with you, to pray with you. You just ask the Holy Spirit to allow that to take place in your life. Let's pray together. And I'd like to pray for you if there's a special need or special concern in your heart. Just slip up your hand and slip it down. I'll be happy to pray for you this morning. Yes, God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Just thank you for the reminder that you love us so much. Lord, we are all your followers. We are your followers, and we want to love you. And so, Father, thank you for loving us. Help us, Father, just to be more aware of your presence. I pray, Father, that you would help us to discipline ourselves and our time, that we can spend some quality time with you so that this relationship that we have between us can be nurtured and can grow and can go deeper, and we can become more intimate with you, and we can have your heart and your spirit. So, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling in their relationship with you. I pray, Father, that you'll give them what they need, encouragement. I pray, Father, you'll give us wisdom. I pray, Father, that you'll give us courage to step out in faith. Lord, I thank you. And, Lord, for those people who raised their hands this morning, you know their needs. You know their burdens. We just bring them to you and lay them at the foot of the cross. And I pray, Father, in your will and in your way and in your timing, you would speak to their hearts. You would bring comfort and reassurance. Father, we claim all the promises that you've given us in your word. And we thank you because you love us as children. And we love you in return as our loving Heavenly Father. So, Lord, continue to bless us this day. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And we love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.